Mary Jane, with profound faith in Jesus Christ, experienced being renewed day by day. Though she suffered with physical pain, she did not lose heart. She affirmed what we know through the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us into his presence. We affirm this hope and the love of God through the unison reading of Scripture that you find printed in your bulletins from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18. We do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. This is God's holy word. May he write its eternal truth upon our hearts. Amen.
Good day. It is so good to see so many of you here. I'm Paul, and I've been asked by the family to give a few reflections. And so we sat together yesterday looking at these stories and looking and I took lots of notes. and then I went home and I pulled out so we got her Bibles and I pulled out those. And so I want to share some of our reflections with you. It's really wonderful to be able to have this privilege. I've got my tissue, and I hope I can get through this. The family's here, and the bigger family's out there, and we'll get through this. First, I want to say it's services like this, I think, that are really important and special, because it makes you feel like, man, all these people are here to see me. And to, congratulate, to give their sympathy, their condolences, and on and on. But, you know, we all walk these, we all have had this, right? And we will all go through this. And so it's a real honor for me to be able to be at a place like this. And I have missed many other services where I couldn't be at your loved ones as they've passed away. And I'm honored that you are here with us now. I am also believe that services like this are important because they remind us of who we are and where we come from. And these are things that were important to my mom. These are two questions that she was always asking, I believe, that I would frame my reflections around. One is the question of, well, who am I? And the other one is, where do I belong? Who do I belong to? And these, I believe, are deeply American questions. They are also immigrant questions that I run into every day in my own work with refugees. Most of all, they are creation questions. They come directly out of first chapter of the scriptures, I believe. And so I think that as I frame these reflections around these two questions, I hope that we can take away, all of us together, something of why we're celebrating my mom's life. And I must admit that I will see many of you and I will look blankly at you because I probably have forgotten who you are, right? And that reminds me of what my mom would probably say, and I've heard her say as well. As she would say, well, it is so nice to see you. And I know who I am, but I'm not so sure about you. So that was one of my mom's treasures, was her way with words. And so we want to remember her treasure. She had a lot of treasure to share. She gave out of her heart. And probably one of the biggest things that we all, as we started sharing our reflections yesterday, was just remembering that she was a very thrifty woman. She was very frugal. And what she gave came out of the thrift in her heart. So I have a few of them. I'll just go through these. So when, you know, the bread ran out, you would always leave the old pieces, you know, in the bread box. And so you start a new loaf. And so several loaves would be started, and then they would go into the tuna fish casserole. So my mom was frugal, extremely just this sense that we have to make do with what we have. So when the milk was low at night, we would go off to bed, and we'd come the next morning, and there was more milk. And that's because she would add powdered milk and water to stretch the milk a little further. We never went to the barber. We would line up together, and she would cut our hair each month. And when we would ask for a stick of gum, she would give us a half of a stick. Best of all, she would buy two stylish shirts, like Lacoste. And when those wore out, she would buy two cheap shirts. And then she would take the emblem off of the nice shirt, and she would sew it on to the cheap shirt. And on TV night, which was one night on the weekend, we could watch TV, and that was TV night. It was popcorn night, and popcorn and soda. Not sodas, but we'd have one bottle of soda for five of us. And she'd pull out the little Dixie cups, and she would fill them up with soda. And of course, she loved gifts. She was a gift giver, and she loved your gifts. But I will tell you, she recycled her gifts. And some of you may have received someone else's gift as well. So my mom was thrifty and frugal. Family was important to her. And my cousin Kimberly wrote a lovely letter to her, and oh, there's so much in there, but that reminds me of how important the family was. We sang at the graveside service. We sang one of her favorite songs that she's always sung on the swing with her sister, as they would say, "You are my favorite sister, and you are my favorite sister." And they would say, "You are my sunshine, you're my only sunshine." We sang that song. Family was so much, meant so much for her. And perhaps her storytelling comes from the large family that she was part of. And she would love to go to the Lily Valley Farm where her mother was from, and sit around on the porch and hear them tell stories. And she went there for the last time for Uncle Jim's 100th birthday this past summer. And she had just fallen, was not well, but I think she was probably the last one to leave, because she just loved to sit around with the family and to hear those stories. She loved going to the lake with Dad, and it was a place to meet the family and to be together and to spend time with her kids, with her grandchildren. But she was also brutally honest, and you quickly learned you did not ask a question if you didn't want an answer. She didn't like jumping on wagons or the latest fads. And in this way, she was very conservative and traditional. Yet not at all traditional in the sense of just accepting something simply because that's the way it always has been. Her comments sometimes had a double-edged effect. And that's probably why we say in the obituary, in lieu of flowers, you can give a gift in another way. But if she were here, she would just say it bluntly like this. She said, If you can't give me flowers while I'm living, I don't want them either at my funeral. So she was very quick to call in to questions, double standards, call to question double standards. And she walked a straight path, and she expected others to do the same. And the Lord knows we need people like that. We need people like that in our lives and on our boards. So my mom always had a word to say or a story to tell. And sometimes we heard them many times and we say, "You got," and then this happened and then that happened. "You've said that once, Mom. We've already heard that story." And she would say, "Well, it won't hurt you to hear it again." As Kimberly said, these are her verbal gifts to us. When we were growing up, we didn't send text messages. We would leave notes, and we had to leave notes on the table to communicate when we were coming and going and this and that. And she would leave her notes about what we had to do and what she expected and so on. And she would sign it M.M. And we understood that to be "Mean Mom." No, we didn't have the last word either. She said, "No, that's marvelous, Mom." Once she changed cars with Dad, and he left his keys in the trunk, and she drove off with his car and the keys in the trunk. She went down the road, and some ways along, a policeman stopped her and walked up to the door and said, "Ma'am, do you know why I stopped you?" And she snapped back politely, "I know I wasn't speeding, so it can't be because of that." She always had a word to say, and she loved stories. And these were a gift, I think, because every good story is connected in some way to our worth and our dignity and the value of life. So in telling those stories, she was connecting to those things, and it meant so much to us. And so I was walking last time I was here in the summer visiting with her. And I was walking with her at Westminster across the bridge. And one of the staff was there doing some of their business, administrative. Had a big stack of papers, and they were filing this and filing that. And she was on her rollator walking along, and she said to me, "Just a second, I need to say something to that lady over there." And so she walked up to the lady that was there, the staff person working on the papers, and she said, "My dad used to have a photo in the bathroom of a boy sitting on a toilet. And underneath it said, 'The job is not done until the paperwork is finished.'" And the lady just sort of like did a double take. And she just, you know, turned around, and we kept walking. And recently, Noah, my son, was visiting her. And she was telling her stories, and she shared also about that subject. And she said, and Noah said, "This is too much. I got to record it. Tell him again, Granby, what you said." So Granby, that's what we called her, my mom said, "You know, my mother used to tell me, 'When you got to go, you got to go. Because if you don't go when you got to go, then when you do go, you're going to find out you've already been.'" It just came out of her. So her humor was not only about these mundane things of life, because she also struggled, as we all know, with lots of health issues. But I think that her stories and processing this stuff helped her get through this struggle and the illnesses that she had. She loved life, and she persevered through all of it. But Mom, as I find in her Bibles, she had keepers for life. And so I've shared with you some of the reflections and memories of her. Maybe you can all identify with. I'm sure if I had a record, I would love to hear what you remember. But I want to share with you and perhaps leave with you words not just about her, but words from her for us. And so these are her keepers, perhaps as she would call them. Keepers that she would want us to take away with us today. We all have these from our loved ones, and this is what we can take from this person's life. And for Mom, it was these things were related to her faith. And she loved gifts, as I've said. She had verbal gifts, but she also had spiritual gifts. And these are her spiritual gifts to us in that sense. And I believe these are the things that she'd want to leave with us today. And I went through her Bibles, and I picked out some of these keepers that I just want to share with you. These are things that she would take notes on the sermons. She and my dad both didn't keep a diary or a journal, but they would take notes or write on a slip of paper. And so you can find lots of this stuff in the margins or pieces of paper like this. And so here's one that says, "Help me to make time for you in my life." So remember, this is what she would want us to imitate from her. "Let me begin now to make time for you in my life." And here's another one from a retreat that she was on. And she highlighted and underlined and starred, "Until my will reaches a state of brokenness, I won't love you as I should. But I need your help. So show me how to be broken." And then this one was for the grandchildren. And because she put in the margins the children and grandchildren, she said, this is probably something that she heard, and she wrote it down. "When you were young and small, I covered you with blankets to keep you warm. But now you're grown too tall, so I fold my hands and cover you with prayers to bring you home." And then, this is really important to me. It was interesting, I found that. She said, "Tell God all that is in your heart as one unloads the pleasures and pains, as you would unload your pleasures and pains to a dear friend. Tell him your troubles and show him your pains that he may comfort and heal you." And this is special to me because this is what drew me to the Lord. So I saw my mom and dad doing this, sharing about their lives and praying to the Lord as if they knew him personally, as a friend, as someone in relationship with God. And as a young boy, I saw this. And so it drew me to the Lord. This was the start of my own faith. And so it's meaningful to me because I understand why this was important to me. This is something that she valued and she did. And so my parents are spiritual parents to me. And I was very thankful that I could pray with them, with especially my mom, the last 15 years after my dad's passed away. Throughout my life, I've been able to pray and to share this spiritual heritage with both my parents. And I think it means a lot to me. It's meant a lot to her. And I was with Noah and Luke and myself this last summer when I was there. And I was praying. We were praying with her. And in her prayer, she thanked God again for her family and what he has given to her. And she prayed for the Lord to keep each of us on our path, on the path that he has given us. And finally, this was one she ripped out, and she said, "There is no greater comfort than knowing we belong, both in life and in death, to the faithful Savior, Lord Jesus Christ." So the night before Granby, my mom died, passed away, Luke was visiting her, and Luke was over here, and he lives with us in France, but he was over here at this time. And he had a chance, he was there to visit her the last time before he came back. And so at about 7 p.m. on the evening before she passed away the next day, he was visiting with her. And so I'm thinking this was maybe the last conversation that she had, except with, of course, the staff and ones there at Westminster. And so she talked about letting go and giving God control. And as Luke walked in, practically immediately, she said, "Hi, Luke. I've signed my DNR. Do not resuscitate." And she said, "It's time to let go." And she went on to speak about being proud of her whole family and the need to know where you belong and who you belong to. And she told him that, "I can't wait for you guys to meet people in heaven that you haven't met before." And of course, in typical fashion, she would do nothing too heavy without bringing it all back down to earth. And as she was sitting there eating her ice cream, she said, where is it? I lost myself.
Dessert first.
Yeah. Be sure you eat your dessert first in life. Do the things you enjoy, because before you know it, you won't be able to do them anymore. So after Granby passed away, my daughter Tessa, I was inspired by a verse from Numbers chapter 17, verse 5, where it talks about Aaron and the staff of Aaron, and how God chose that staff and caused it to bloom. And she, that inspired her, and she sketched that right here that we put on the back. And I think this was a picture of Granby's life and the legacy that she left. As Tessa said, I understood for the first time the significance of a legacy, because it's something that produces fruit. And as Reinhold, my wife, unfortunately can't be here, saw it, she said, "That looks like Granby's thin, fragile arm." And so out of her life, God has caused much to bloom. And this is the legacy that she leaves. It's most of all what we remember is her faith. Her faithfulness and her life of faith. Her trust in God's control, even when she suffered a lot. And I was looking through the cabinet in at her apartment, where she has all of the albums and the mementos. She was the family historian. And she loved to keep these stories and keep track of all the people and, again, who she belonged to, so to speak. And I found a picture of my grandmother Louise Stark in 1932 in a tennis skirt and tennis racket. I thought, that looks like Beth, my cousin Beth. And we all have these things. We have so much in our lives that make us who we are. And Mom, I think, was keenly aware of this and could keep all of these details straight. It's like she made a sense of it, kept it in order to figure out who she belonged to and where she belonged. And these questions, I believe, for all of us are important, and for us to take home with us and consider in our own life, that as we are faced with going back and looking at so much we have in our own life and deciding what will we hold on to from our loved ones, what is it that I will hold on to from my mother's life? And by far, I would say that she would say to all of us, hold on to Jesus and let go of everything else and give God control. So those are our reflections. Thank you.
Paul, thank you so very much. The Mary Jane that I knew and loved was indeed a very beautiful lady. She was brilliant and she was bold. So when she asked me last month to think about sharing this day from Romans chapter 8, I simply told this beautiful and brilliant and bold lady, yes, ma'am. So with that, this is a few scriptures from Romans chapter 8. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. We wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or danger or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, trusting Jesus Christ as her Savior and resting in the God of supreme love, there is joy for a family to honor their mother, their grandmother, their sister, and our sister, our friend in Christ Jesus. And while there is sorrow and loss, we also have hope. For with Mary Jane, we ask, who shall ever separate us from the love of God? And as Christians, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we share that there is nothing in all creation which will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are indeed secure in Christ's love. Those helpful words and hopeful words from the Apostle Paul become the focus of our attention. It was the focus of Mary Jane's attention, in which we now have humble and grateful praise for her life. Without question, Mary Jane was beautiful. She presented herself as a refined Southern lady, a devoted mother, a wonderful grandmother, a faithful sister, a truly great friend. Her beauty shined in her love of her Savior, her husband Rain, her children, her grandchildren, and in the many friends that she embraced. Her beauty extended through her warm smile and gentle laughter. It included her gracious hospitality and her joyful heart. Mary Jane, though, was also brilliant. as Paul has shared, she could weave a story into any conversation and make you feel as though you had known her intimately for years. With humor and sincerity, her stories of her relationships with parents and ministry, or her marriage and ministry with Rain, or of her children and grandchildren on Cardinal Place, or of her many friends that she loved in Lynchburg and the world beyond, her stories would bring a smile to any face and joy to the soul. And to this brilliance, Mary Jane was bold. By being bold, you could say that you could end up on the opposite side of her brilliance. She could argue in a winsome sort of way and win without her opponent even realizing that he or she had lost severely. She could weave a story about her mother and father hosting young men returning from the war in such a way that I would say, Mary Jane, I need to be such a pastor like your father. And she would simply smile. By being bold, I primarily think of her faith. She had a bold faith in Jesus Christ. Indeed, she knew to whom she belonged. She knew what it was to be secure in the love of her Savior. And as I think of these verses, Mary Jane's life was about the gospel. She was indeed secure in Christ's love, and love moved her, and it will move all of us to being more than conquerors through every trial for His sake and for His glory. Now, just three simple thoughts when I look at Romans 8 and what Mary Jane would share. Mary Jane was bold in her faith with settled affections of her heart. She knew without question that sinners and saints are saved by God's grace and God's grace alone. And this is really good news. Because Christ's love for His daughters and sons is not diminished or terminated by physical sickness, by shortcomings in relationship, by sins of anger or frustration. No, she knew what it was that our salvation is rooted in God's plan before the foundation of the world. And we see this in these verses. For we know that those who love God, all things do work together for God, for those who are called according to His purpose, for those whom He foreknew. He predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. Mary Jane knew what it was to embrace the eternal plan of God, and she did not want to fall short in that journey. You know, there is no greater assurance for the Christian when he or she is going through extremely difficult times and to remind himself that God sees beyond today and He always has an eternal purpose clearly in mind, and it includes eternity with Him forevermore. Mary Jane would tell me, Ron, there is so much more in Scripture about the moment I die than what I see in this lifetime. I'm really excited. But secondly, notice here that with these affections set on her God, Mary Jane could answer some profound questions with great affirmations of her soul. Now, the Apostle Paul is doing this here for us also. If God is for us, the God who foreknew, predestined, called us, who can be against us? If God graciously gave His Son for us, will He not freely give us all things? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? Who will condemn us? Who will separate us from the love of Christ? In all these things, you know, there's a summary question, and Mary Jane could get to the heart of an issue pretty quick in her winsome sort of way. Ron, all these questions simply make me wonder, how much is God for us? He is for us so much that God the Father gave up His most priceless possession, the Lord Jesus, His only begotten Son, without reservation. God the Father did not spare His Son. He gave Him up for us freely. This being true, do you have any doubt that those of us who come to Christ will be the recipients of good things from the hand of God who loved us so much? This is how much God loved us. Jesus died so that our sins may be forgiven. He was raised to life for our salvation, and with that we may live forevermore. And Mary Jane would simply say, "What good news! Why shouldn't I trust Him? I am firmly in the grip of His grace." At the cross, God proclaimed that "I am for you." So if God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can oppose us? Nobody. That matters. See, Mary Jane was clear that the love of Christ gives us victory in the ability to have these affections of the heart settled and answering the questions of the soul with great affirmation. And yet, one last thing here, to face the adversities of life. Question: can life at its worst remove us from Christ and His love? Answer: adversity of all sorts may come, but they will not undermine our security in our Savior. Ron, Mary Jane speaking, I believe that, and I rest in that. None of the struggles that she faced, none of the struggles that we will face as we anchor ourselves in Jesus will ever separate us from His love. While suffering is difficult, the steadfast love of Christ will overcome every one of our fears, so that neither death nor life, neither angels nor principalities, neither things present nor things to come, neither height nor depth nor any other created thing, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Please hear the good news. The secure love of Christ for you and for me, for our dear sister Mary Jane, is supremely demonstrated in Christ, who gave Himself for all of us on the cross for His people. As Mary Jane has now perfectly experienced in the throne room of grace, in her death, she lives. We are able to overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. Now, it must be personal for you as it was for Mary Jane. So in celebrating Mary Jane's life this day, Rain, and Paul and Bernetta, together with the rest of her family and friends here, in celebrating Mary Jane, we also celebrate Jesus Christ. We trust, we believe that we are safe and secure in Christ and in His love. Mary Jane's beautiful, brilliant, and bold life testifies that we all desperately need Jesus. But with Jesus, we are more than conquerors. In Mary Jane's beautiful, brilliant, and bold life, also affirms one other thing, is that we desperately need one another. Mary Jane, in the last couple of months, seemed to really rally when her family and friends were around. She beautifully brought us together and gave witness to the love, and the love the way that Christ loves us. Oh, as we honor her as we celebrate Christ, secure in His love, may we all face each day with love and joy. Secure in Christ's love, please know that Christ will make a difference in our families, in our marriages, in the workplace, in our witness, and in the church. So Rain, Paul, and Bernetta, together for your family, we grieve. Yet we grieve with certain hope in the Lord Jesus. Know that it is safe to fall upon your knees before Him, for Christ's love is changeless. His power is made perfect in weakness, and nothing will ever separate us from His boundless love as we trust Jesus Christ for our life and for our salvation. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, by the grace of your Spirit, teach us that Jesus lives, and so shall we, secure in the love of our Savior. We ask it in his name. Amen. Mary Jane expressed joy in this affirmation of faith from the Heidelberg Catechism. Please hear her voice as we share this faith together. Would you please stand? I ask you, dear family, this question. What is your only comfort in life and in death? My only comfort is that I belong, body and soul, in life and in death, not to myself, but to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. At the cost of his own precious blood, he has fully paid for all my sins and has set me free from the dominion of the devil. He also watches over me so well that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. Indeed, all things must work together to fit his purpose for my salvation. Therefore, because I belong to him, Christ, by his Holy Spirit, also assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly ready and willing from now on to live for him. Amen. Please be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, as we gaze upon the face of Jesus Christ, our faithful Savior, we praise you at the cost of his own precious blood. He has fully paid for all of our sins, and he has secured us for an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, all kept in heaven for us. Oh, Father, help us to believe and to rest secure in the depths and the wonders of the love of Christ this day. And so as we give you thanks for the life and witness of Mary Jane Sidner, as we remember her vibrant faith in the Savior and her love and devotion to her family, her friends, and for your church, we do give you thanks that she now, by the grace and mercy of your love, she has entered into the life of abundant joy and boundless glory, in which there is neither disease, nor death, nor pain, nor sorrow. We rejoice that she is now with Christ in great delight, eternal peace, and pleasures forevermore at your right hand. So along with her bold witness, help us to remember that we were created to live for your glory now and forever. Father, as the God of all mercies and the God of all compassion, please give your grace to Mary Jane's family and friends, who celebrate her life yet mourn her passing. We especially remember Rain and Paul and Bernetta, along with the rest of her family gathered here today. Fill their hearts and minds with the light and comfort of your presence, that they might find their strength and comfort in you, that they may know the peace of Christ, which surpasses all understanding. May you give them the full assurance of your promise that all of Christ's people will one day be together in your everlasting kingdom as they rest and live in your steadfast love. Father, again, we thank you for Mary Jane. We pray in the precious name of Jesus Christ, who has taught us to pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Tell the power of Jesus' name. Please stand. Thank you. As we crown Jesus Lord of all, would you please lift your hands to receive his blessing? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.